So we've gone through 3 days of creation, and even though we've taken a long time, a lot more was created than we could really even, and a lot more to that than we could really even delve in school or in church here. But let's look at this next slide, just as review here. Yes. Oh, I gave Josh two different things to do at the same time. I'm sorry, Josh, I'm a multitask. All right, one more slide, Josh, one more. Yep. Okay, all right, so day one, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but yet they were without form, so they weren't completely ready to be inhabited and for plant life and humans. So we see the earth was covered by water, but the separation of light and darkness. No sun, moon, or stars yet, right? So God, in some way, is creating and it is the light. So we don't know exactly how that was, but day one says that light separated the darkness. And we see, that already begins to count literal days. Day two, the atmosphere and the sky. And then day three, dry land, plants, and fruit trees. Today, day four, we'll look at the sun, moon, and the stars that God has done. So that's a little bit in review of kind of where we've been, what we're going to look at today. In review from last week, there were a lot of new faces because it was U Day. So I had a lot of students from Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State, other colleges. Some of those have already gone to Wisconsin to start college, to Florida to start college, even during the week traveled. But church is feeling very generous this morning, so I have a check here. It's a blank check, but this could be written out to you for $10,000 if you could say all of the names of the people who were here last week and pronounce them correctly. The flip side of that is if you try and do not get it right, then you owe the U.S. government $100,000 in extra taxes. Any takers? Nobody. I wouldn't try. And I don't think any of us probably would even succeed in the small group that we had, maybe 100 or so last week. Probably none of us would succeed at saying everybody's name, pronouncing it correctly. And that's just 100 names. But yeah, we're going to see today as we look at how God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he knows them all by name. And he gave them all a name. And how vastly different and how vastly, more intelligent God is, infinitely more than we are as humans. Think about this. So this is from a NASA website. Yeah, you can go back to the last slide. 1 septillion stars. I'm going to be honest. I'm not really a math guy. I mean, I did okay in math in high school and college, but I didn't pursue that. So I'm not really into numbers a lot. I don't remember hearing that number in my life. It's not a number that I use often. So what is 1 septillion? All right, so this is kind of you have 1 million with 6 zeros. After that, 1 billion is 9 zeros, trillion, 12, quadrillion, 15, quintillion, 18, sextillion, 21, and septillion is 24 zeros after the one. That's what scientists estimate of the number of stars in the whole universe. And God knows them by name. And God set each one of them in place. That's the God that we serve. That's the God who we even looked at this morning in Psalm 8, 3, and 4, who knows you and who cares for you. All right, God made two great lights, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. Everybody who can see, so everybody that has vision, some I realize are blind and haven't been able to see the light of the sun and the moon physically. They can feel the warmth of the sun, but they haven't seen it perhaps. But the rest of the human population that can see has seen these two great lights. In Genesis 1:14, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night." So on day one, as I said earlier, God created light. It wasn't the sun, moon, and the stars, but he created light. So now he's giving a source, a visible and a long-term source of that light in being the great light and the lesser light. Genesis 1:16, "And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night." So the greater light we know as what? The sun. And we enjoy the sun, most of us. My skin doesn't really like the sun. I love the sun, but my skin doesn't react well to the sun, and it burns and skin cancer and all this stuff. But I love the sun. I love being able to look outside and seeing shadows and seeing it be bright. And God created the two great lights, the greater light being the sun. It's an immense ball of flame. One of the commentators, as I was reading a book that he wrote, John MacArthur, says its diameter measures 865,000 miles. Is that pretty big? It's huge. 865,000 miles. That's about 109 times the size of the Earth. Josh Fox and I were just talking recently. I don't remember even if it was at ISF or somewhere else, but he was kind of recollecting the trip that he took in May and June, and that he left Atlanta and flew west to get to Japan, and then met us in Indonesia, and then came back east. So he circled the Earth, but in a plane, right? But it was a long trip, right, Josh? Long trip to go around the Earth, and so you go around the sun, it'd be 109 times that. Its volume, the sun, and this will help us a little bit here, this next slide. So its volume, the sun's volume is 1.3 million times greater than that of the Earth, meaning that if the sun were hollow, you could put 1.3 million Earths inside of the sun to fill it up. Now help me out, and no need to be embarrassed because you're here, but what time did you wake up this morning? So if you woke up, you know, 30 minutes ago, but you're here, praise God. So what time did you wake up? Just tell me some of the times you woke up. 6:40. 7:45. 8:30. 8. 8:56. So take the time that you woke up. Take the time as you woke up, if it was after sunrise, if you woke up after sunrise, then the light that you saw, maybe outside your window, or maybe as you stepped outside, the light that you saw from the sun had left the sun 8.5 minutes prior to that. Okay, so it had left the sun. That light that you saw, and the light that we're seeing right now, it left the sun 8.5 minutes before. As you think about this, okay, the sun is 93 million miles or 150 million kilometers. Some of you are more familiar with kilometers. So 93 million miles or 150 million kilometers away from the Earth. Light from the surface of the sun then travels about 186,000 miles per second. 186,000 miles per second or 300,000 kilometers per second. So another site, another page on the NASA.gov website helps us to put this in perspective a little bit. So if in the amount of time that light travels that distance, then a traveler here on Earth would go around the Earth 7.5 times, did exactly what Josh did, but would go around the Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. 7.5 times in 1 second. So then if you take the 8.5, now I said I wasn't a math guy, but let's do this math, all right? So if you take the 8.5 minutes that it takes for the sun, for a sun ray to leave the sun's surface and get to Earth, take that 8.5 minutes, then you multiply that 8.5 minutes, you know, 8.5 times 60, right? Because 60 seconds in a minute. So in that 8.5 minutes, someone who's traveling the Earth could circle the globe, if they were going at the speed of light, could circle the Earth 3,825 times. God made the greater light, the sun. He made the lesser light, the moon. All right, so let's look at a few things here with the moon. We have some of the moon, the next slide here, so we've got some of the moon's phases as seen from Earth. Okay, so this is not to scale, but just to kind of help us out here. You have the sun, the Earth. So the Earth is orbiting the sun. The moon is orbiting the Earth. So you have kind of the different phases. You got new, waxing crescent, first quarter, waxing gibbous, full, waning gibbous, last quarter, waning crescent, and new. Anybody know what cycle of the moon we're at today? All right, let's look it up. Here, next slide. All right, so if you did not know, you can actually look online and find all the different phases for the month. So in August of 2025, here we're at the 31st, so we're at the first quarter of what we're seeing from the moon. Now, what I did not realize is we see the same side of the moon all the time. We see the same side of the moon all the time, but it just looks different as it orbits the Earth and its position in relation to the sun. So the lesser light is the moon. Something else that the moon is very important for, look at this. You have anybody like to go to the ocean, go to the beach? I do. And it's fun to see the tides, you know, coming in and coming out. There's two high tides a day, and in large part because the Earth has its gravitational pull, the moon has its own gravitational pull, and so that gravitational pull, then kind of creates a bulge of the water on the face of the Earth, making that you have two kind of high tides throughout the day. And that's those of you who maybe study marine life and all that, there's so much involved even in that that God designed and God made in such a way where this lesser light, as it reflects the light of the sun and orbits the Earth, has a very important impact on our Earth. I've got to throw this in, okay? So this is just a little bit, you know, I'm not the most romantic guy ever, so I have to share a few things that I feel like are somewhat romantic, okay? So we've been praying for Red Cliff Bible Camp last couple weeks. Thankfully, the camp is still safe. The wildfire is still going, but there has been some rain. The firemen have made a lot of progress. There's been hundreds, 500-600 firemen that have worked in that area to try to contain the fire and have done a lot around the camp, using kind of the camp as their base even to try to hold the line and keep the fire from coming into that area. So thank God for that. Continue to pray as it's still going, still raging, but they have been able to get more of the fire contained and still working on that. Years ago in 1995, I worked at Red Cliff Bible Camp for a summer, and it was the first time that I can remember. I grew up here in Georgia, but it was the first time that I can remember seeing so many stars in the sky, because it's up in the mountains of Wyoming. There's not the light pollution of cities. I've lived in cities most of my life. And so it was very remarkable to me to be able to look up at Red Cliff Bible Camp and look up in the sky and just see, I mean, I couldn't count them, just see so many stars. Now here's the romantic part, okay? Get ready to go, oh, okay? So the romantic part is Kim and I were dating. I didn't want her to forget me. Right? I didn't want her to forget me. We were engaged. We had just gotten engaged to be married the following summer. And I remember writing letters to her, not sending emails, but writing letters to her under the moonlight. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Very good. But it was so bright. And so I remember just really being in awe of this is what God's created. And I don't get a chance to see this much and see all the stars and the brightness of the moon in that way. But God allows that to really remind us of his power and all that he's done. So all who can see have seen these lights. All who are living have been affected by these lights. Every single person alive has been affected by these lights. For example, can you imagine life without light? Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night." And then Genesis 1:15, "Let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. Can you imagine life without light? Tuesday afternoon, I met the owner of, some of you may be familiar with what building I'm talking about, but as we explore, just really looking for God to do a miracle to provide land or a building for our church. And so I'm always just kind of looking and dreaming and wondering and hoping and praying. But there has been an large abandoned building behind Culver's and Dunkin' Donuts in Kennesaw for as many years as I've been driving up here. Anybody know which one I'm talking about? It's huge. It's like 40,000 square feet, okay? And so I was there again recently, just walking around, you know, the building, and people probably thought I was crazy. You can't get in there with cars anymore. They've got it blocked off. But I parked my car in the front, put my hazards on, jumped over the barrier, and was walking around and just thinking and praying, like, man, wouldn't it be cool if this building were given to us? Now that's my mindset. Well, so I see kind of scribbled on this cheap for sale by owner sign, a name of a guy and a phone number. So I call him up and he answers the phone. And I said, hey, this is David Huffman. I'm pastor of One Hope Church and I'm here at your building and I just kind of wanted to see the status of this. You know, but somebody else in our church, my dad actually a year ago had called or so, a little over a year ago, and gotten some information. He was trying to sell it for like $5.5 million. I said, what about now? It's still empty. What's the best you could do for a church? And so he tells me, blah, 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 this is what I could do. But I'm going to be in town tomorrow. Do you want to see the building? I'm like, absolutely. I'd love to see the building. So Tuesday, then he comes into town for something else. He's from Cookeville, Tennessee. And on his way, he said, hey, I'm kind of running late, but there's a door that's open behind in the back part of the building that you're welcome to walk in and kind of explore it. But don't be alarmed. There's been a lot of damage and vandalism that's been done in the building. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty obvious. The whole thing's boarded up. There's broken glass all over the building. There's holes in the glass that you can see. I'm like, yeah, that's an understatement. So I get there a little bit early before he does. I bring a little headlamp. And I'm contemplating, is this a smart thing to do? I've never met this owner. I don't know who put the phone number on the for sale sign by owner, you know, on the building. He's telling me to go in an abandoned, vandalized building alone. Is this smart? So I walk around the building. I'm walking on crushed glass, and I see part of the boards that have been ripped off, and I wonder, is that how he wants me to get in? There's like jagged glass still on part of the door. I'm like, I don't think so. And so I decide I'm going to wait for this owner. Was that a good decision? Good decision. I didn't tell Kim all of this thought process, but I was there and I thought, I'm going to wait. So he shows up, nice enough man, probably in his 70s, grew up on the farm in Tennessee, but has become very successful financially in his adult years. So very nice, got a southern accent, you know, just made me feel, you know, kind of welcomed. And he's like, hey, did you go in the building? I'm like, I decided to wait for you. I just wasn't quite sure how to get in and where I should try to go in and who might be in there. You know, so we walk in the building. It's completely dark. And as we walk through hallways of just this huge abandoned building and walk across crushed glass and see the ceilings that have been torn down and drywall that's been torn apart and in search of copper and anything that people could sell for, I guess, whatever, drugs, whatever. And it was eerie. And I was glad to step outside of that building about 15 minutes later into the sunlight again. Now, pray. He didn't say he was going to give us the building. He still wants quite a few million dollars for it, but God can do miracles. Amen? Probably take a couple million to remodel it and get it up to speed, but who knows what God will do. But as I walked out into the light and just remember thinking, this darkness, it's a real thing. I was scared of the dark as a 5-year-old, and as an almost 50-year-old, I was still a little leery to walk into a dark building in broad daylight, but into a dark building alone. How many of you have been above the Arctic Circle? You've traveled above the Arctic Circle. Anybody? Let's look at this slide here. I am going to slaughter the name of this city. It used to be called Barrow, Alaska. It's now called Yukivik. That's my try. But it's above the Arctic Circle. And then notice what CNN reported here, and it's true, it happens every year. The next slide will show us. There's 65 days where this Alaskan town does not see the sun. 65 days. From like November, part of November, all the way to January, this city doesn't see the sun because of the tilt of the earth on its axis and all that. I can't imagine. I got super discouraged and not, you know, clinically depressed, but I just got super discouraged and gloomy in my undergraduate days up in Wisconsin when winter set in and I didn't see the sun for a couple of weeks. It seemed like this is the end of the world. But this city goes 65 days every year without seeing the sun. This is the city. It's not the suicide mortality rate. It's not just because of darkness. But the suicide mortality rate in Alaska is much higher than the rest of the United States of America. I'm going to guess, nobody can really prove this scientifically, and there's been studies and all these things, but part of it, I think, is just cold weather and maybe being dark so long. Everybody who lives, who is living, has been affected by the greater light and the lesser light, the sun and the moon. It's hard to imagine life without light. Can you imagine life without signs and seasons? Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night." Okay, so those are things that we're used to doing. How many of you normally try to get to bed before midnight? You try to go to bed before midnight. Okay, that's good. How many of you get up kind of close to sunrise, maybe a little bit before sunrise or a little bit after sunrise? All right, it's a fairly common time to wake up. Now, follow my question here. It's a little tricky. I'm not trying to trick you, but it's a little tricky. How many of you have three meals between 7 p.m., so it's becoming night, between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m., you have three meals on a regular basis? Josh Medina is excluded because he does. I think he normally eats at 7, then again at midnight, and then again. So excluding Josh Medina, how many of you normally have three meals from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.? These are normal, so another teenager like, yep, me. These are normal things that we follow as God designed the day and the night. And so trying to imagine life without these things that, nighttime's going to come, but daytime's going to come, and these are the rhythms of life that we follow. It's difficult to imagine life without that. Yesterday was the first, I think it might have been the first day of all of college football. Am I right, Caleb, or no? Close enough? Okay. I know it was the first day Georgia played, right? And they played pretty awesome way, right? So a little plug for Georgia. But so in the fall, as fall is coming, what are some of the things that you look forward to as fall is approaching? The cold, leaves changing. It's beautiful to see the leaves change. Maple syrup, pumpkins, apple picking, apple cider. No more mosquitoes. Yeah, amen to that, right? We all say amen. Anything else? Listen, that is on my list because I knew somebody was going to say it. I knew somebody, Nancy Raines, was going to say it. I knew that that was going to come up. These are things, and why these are silly things, but yet as humans, we look forward to even the seasons that God has given us, and He designed that from the very beginning of creation. Can you imagine life without signs and seasons? God has given these things for our enjoyment. U.S. Naval Institute, I think this is the next slide here. Yeah, so U.S. Naval Institute put out an article in February of 2022, so a few years ago, the USS Essex sailed from Hawaii to California, but with no electronic instruments at all. They disabled all of their electronic GPS and everything to that nature, and they wanted to test if they could sail from Hawaii to California just using the stars. And they did. It took, let me see here how many days, it took 1,800 nautical miles, only 5 days, but 1,800 nautical miles, and they arrived off the coast of San Diego, California, on time and on track. So way before GPS was ever, made, invented, or used, ship captains have used stars as even signs for navigation to get around the earth. God did that. God made the lights to be for signs and for seasons. Then we see in Genesis 1:14 again, can you imagine life without time? God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and then and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." For days and years. Is Jeremy in or did he go out and help with the kids? Jeremy Medina? You don't need to give. Yeah, he's fine. All right, so let's look at this picture here. At one of our community groups, so this is the birthday boy, Jeremy right here. He had a birthday on August 13th. Wednesday, August 13th, Jeremy Medina celebrated having been alive for the earth to revolve around the sun 23 times. So how old is Jeremy? 23. Good students. That's fantastic. Yes. So as the earth revolves around the sun, it takes approximately a year. We have a leap year to kind of make up for the difference. But on Wednesday, August 13th, Jeremy celebrated having been alive for the earth to revolve around the sun 23 times. He's 23 years old. Friday, August 15th, my dad celebrated his 79th birthday. Same day, my mother-in-law celebrated her 72nd birthday. Last night, we were at a birthday party for Aladiku, and he celebrated 70 years, or being alive 70 times for the earth to revolve around the sun. It's difficult to imagine life without time. Now, during the 18 years that we spent in Brazil, and even knowing some of you better who come from cultures all over the world, there are many cultures in the world that aren't, they don't put as much emphasis on the clock and on time. Am I correct? Right? So you have island time, you have Latino time, you know, these things are things that are phrases that are thrown around. But even in Brazil, there is some semblance of respecting time. And it would be complete chaos if time was totally stripped away. It's really impossible to imagine life without time. And God made the sun, the greater light, and the lesser light, the moon. It says, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Genesis 1:14. Let them be for days and for years. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. It's something that God will always allow. The sun and the moon don't create time. They only continue the rhythms of time that God has instituted. Just like your watch or your phone, it doesn't make the time. It just follows. It just, and that's what the sun and moon do. They're fulfilling the purpose that God made them to do on day four of creation. All right, let's finish. Let's get to the stars here. Oh, God made the stars too. Genesis 1:16. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. I've always been amazed at how that's phrased on day four. God made the sun, the greater light, the lesser light, the moon, and almost kind of like a footnote, oh, and by the way, the stars. The one septillion stars, you know, in the universe estimated. The closest stars to us is called the Alpha Centauri system. So it's a tri-star system, the Alpha Centauri A, Alpha Centauri B, and the Proxima Centauri. The light that leaves those stars takes 4.5 years to arrive here on Earth where we could see it. 4.5 years. There's a little bit of a comparison slide. So we have kind of comparison slide, the sun. Our sun compared to the size of Betelgeuse, compared to the size of another huge star called Antares. But yet Genesis 1:17 says, and God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. Almost as if we would say something like, oh yeah, yesterday I put up Christmas lights on our house. And to God, that really was nothing more. He just made one septillion or more stars, and then he places them all over the universe because he's the almighty creator. He set them in the expanse of the heavens. Yet Genesis 1:16 refers to the sun as the greater light. So the sun, as we saw, let's go back one more. So the sun, does that look like the greater light when compared to the stars? But from the perspective of Earth, it is the greater light. And so even that, I believe, gives us a really key fact here, a really key notion, is that God, as he creates the universe, but creates Earth and specifically mankind in his image, that is the focal point of his creation. And all of creation's story is told from that focal point, even to the fact that he says, the greater light, the sun, the lesser light, the moon, oh, and I made the stars too and set them in the expanse of the heavens. So in that sense, we can really see God as he reveals himself. He reveals his redemptive plan for mankind. There is a curiosity of people that, are there aliens? Are we going to discover, you know, life on other planets? I don't believe so. I believe that God's made it clear in Scripture that mankind is his focal point of creation. and that he loves us dearly. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So sin came into the world, not through an alien far off somewhere, but through one man. And we know who that was, Adam and Eve in Genesis. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under what? Heaven, no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Often when I fly, and I don't fly as much now as I used to when we'd go back and forth to Brazil, but often when I fly, I enjoy looking down. If I get a window seat, I enjoy looking down and just imagining a little bit. What's going on down there in the lives of these thousands of people that I'm, and sometimes even millions of people. You fly over Sao Paulo, you're flying over 20 million people. What is going on in the lives of these 20 million people below me? It's almost as if the cars you could pick up with your hands and the homes, the houses are kind of like little play sets that you can move around, you know, for your daughter or something in a play set. And you begin to realize nobody down there knows that I'm up here in seat 32D and they could care less. And I have no idea as I look down what's going on in those office buildings and on that ball field that looks so tiny and those little cars that are going on the highway. I have no idea. And it gives just a little glimpse of how insignificant we are as humans, really, in comparison to all that God has created in the entire universe. And so that really leads us to how David responded in Psalm 8 and verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the work, what does it say? Of your fingers. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him? And maybe Peter even had this passage in mind when he wrote the following in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, Peter says, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And then in verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Help me out. Because he cares for you. This, I pray that you don't go away and just be amazed at all the size of the sun and you got Betelgeuse and the phases of the moon and go out tonight like, oh, I know what phase of the moon. Those are cool little interesting facts maybe, and they help us to see a glimpse of God's might and his power. But so much more important than that, I pray that you'll get to the response that David did in Psalm and also in Peter did. God made all of those things, but he cares for you. He cares for me. Even though there's one septillion stars and he knows each of them by name, he knows what you face today. He loves and desires and wants a relationship with you and with me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we finish this morning?